federal agencies are dragging their employees kicking and screaming into the era of open office design. Leaders might love having everyone in the room able to make eye contact and chat anytime they want. But an exclusive Federal News survey, part of our special report on the Federal Office of the Future, shows that feds are happiest at work when they can close their doors. Emily Kopp joins me now with more details. Emily, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Before we get to it, let's start by some background here. Who did we survey?
This was an online survey we had on our website for about a week at the end of last month. And basically, it was open to anyone. But in order to do a story on the federal office and the way people feel about it now, we filtered it out to about 850 people who identified themselves as current federal employees. And we asked people to do things like describe the type of situation they worked in, if they worked in an enclosed office, which is increasingly rare these days, or a cubicle, or where the trend is going, an open office, which means something that has either very low partitions separating desks or no partitions at all. And we tried to gauge what people thought about their situations.
So as those cubicle walls melt away into the open plan, what do people say about it? Do they like it?
You know, change is hard for anyone, and I would say that, overall, no. The people who volunteered to do our online survey, I don't know if they're representative or if they had a gripe and they wanted to share it, but no, they do not like the way things are going. If they had enclosed offices before and they've moved into cubicles, they miss their offices. If they had cubicles and they moved into open space, they bemoan the loss of the cubicles. People enjoy having their own personal space for a variety of reasons. And when you take that away, they don't look too kindly on that. And that was clearly reflected in this survey.
And what are the major objections? Is it noise or being able to be seen every time you, I don't know, unwrap a sandwich? Or what is it?
There are all sorts of objections, but yes, I think noise is the one that we hear about the most, and lack of privacy. So they go together. But people, and I'll refer you to the story we have on federalnewsradio.com. We've pulled some of the quotes that we thought were really representative of what people were saying, because there were clearly common threads. They were saying, you know, I can hear my neighbors talk about things, my coworkers, my neighbors in this open office design talk about things I really don't want to hear them talk about. Fights with their spouses or their medical issues, or just if somebody is having a conversation about something that doesn't involve me, it's very hard for me to tune in out. So you hear about people who bring headphones to work and feel like they have to use it. You hear about other people who need to make a phone call and they feel like they have to use a conference room or go out into the hall, but they have to walk away from their desk to make an office-related call because the noise doesn't stay in this enclosed space. Now it sort of bounces off the walls for anyone to hear.
Now, did any of the respondents like the open plan that they were working in?
Very few of the respondents did, but I would say yes, there were a few, and they were vocal, and they liked it for reasons that the designers of open offices want them to like it for. They said it's easier to collaborate with people. I can just make eye contact with a colleague, walk over and talk to them. We don't have to try to do it by email or play phone tag or things like this. It fosters collaboration. And also, we got a few people commenting saying, you know, it shows us who's really working and who's not. You can't hide in an open office. We see what you're doing. And so in that respect, it makes people more productive and more honest with each other.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp, and you have reported a few months back, actually, that from the comptroller David Mader of the Office of Management and Budget, and he reiterated something that the administration has been pushing for some time, which is they want federal agencies to reduce the space they occupy. And so is the open plan a result of that pressure or because managers think it's a great way for people to work?
I think it's both, because you clearly see this happening in all sorts of industry. It's not just the government. But with regards to the federal government, for a couple of years, they've had this Freeze the Footprint initiative where they've tried to rein in real estate, whether it be warehouses that the government owns but isn't using, or office space. And the most prominent example of how they've tried to do this in terms of office space is the General Services Administration, the government's landlord itself, completely renovated its headquarters here in Washington and moved people into an open office where they don't even have their own assigned desks, but they have to, they might have a desk that's empty, and they go and they reserve it and they have it basically for the whole day. So there's really a greater sharing of office space now there, and other agencies are looking, and they know that GSA has saved money for this, that it's able now to squeeze 4,000 employees into a space that's originally fit for about half of that, 2,500, and that's because a lot of people telework.
So that seems to be the end of not just a cubicle or an office, but of personal space assigned to you whatsoever. That means no pictures of the family left in the open office area, no little piles of stuffed animal. I mean, you've walked through offices, you see what people have in their cubicles, candy jars, dolls, this kind of thing. Sounds like it would make a pretty sterile office. Anyone comment on that?
I don't think that if you look at the comments, you'll see anything about dolls or stuffed animals. I think those are things people keep well guarded. Maybe that's just my impression, but not that. But yes, people complain that they have to take their work files home with them because they don't want to leave them on their desks, or that they do have, like at the GSA headquarters in Washington, they do have cubbies or lockers to store their stuff in, but they say it's not big enough for all the stuff that they have. So they don't have the stuff that they would normally have with them at the office. Now, you can argue that some of that is clutter and that it's sort of nicer for everyone if there's less stuff. But I think you're right. I think that our offices, we spend so much time at them, whether they're our own desks or something else, that they are an extension of our identities. We like to have photos of our family, or at least feel comfortable there. You don't like to work in a sterile environment. People do bemoan the loss of that type of space where they could store their own things.
I was wondering if, you know, the open space where there is no assigned seat to an individual, it's going to be like the deck chairs on a cruise ship. You got to get there early and leave your sweater on the chair so you can have the same space or the space you want.
Yes, and our comments reflected that. They said, you know, the early bird gets, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the early bird gets the worm. They get the seats by the windows. A lot of people also complained about very basic things like artificial lighting and the lack of sunlight. And they said, you know, the early bird gets the ones by the windows. The rest of us are sort of scrambling and looking around. The other thing that people at GSA said was that it's hard to sometimes sit next to the same people and get that sort of camaraderie with your team if you are always, if you are just not guaranteed the same seat day after day. So that was something that people said that they bemoaned, but I'll tell you, you know, some people, like I said that it makes it more collaborative, keeps people honest. And we even talked to somebody who left their name, and we followed up with her. She works at GSA, and she said, you know what, people have come around in the last couple of years that we've had this open office, and I don't think that the complaints that you read in the survey are truly representative of what the average rank and file GSA employee who works here feels. I like the fact that I can just get up and walk over to the IT people and ask them questions, that I can make eye contact with people, and that, you know, it's easier for me to do things with my colleagues.
I guess the open space does take place in agencies, but within the context of the work group that you're already in. That is to say, people in the public building services, for example, are not working in the same zone of open offices as people, say, in the IT, you know, or multiple award schedule program. So that if that were the case, then how could you collaborate? Because you had no idea whether the person sitting next to you or across from you on a given day had anything whatsoever to do with the work and in the group that you're part of.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, I mean, that these might be growing pains. Change, people take to change in all sorts of different ways. And it's only been 2 years at GSA. Others, if you look at other federal offices, maybe they're in cubicles and they still complain about the lack of privacy if they once had an office. So I think what you can deduce is that Our own personal quarters at work are getting smaller and smaller. We see that at Federal News Radio too. We just moved to an open office plan. And we're uncomfortable with change. But that doesn't mean that once you get used to the new environment that that you are still going to feel that way. There are sorts of advantages. GSA researched very carefully before it moved to an open office, and it stands by the decision because it says that it does foster collaboration. It does make it easier for managers in some but not all respects, and it's saving the agency a lot of money.
All right, Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.